All right, at this time, very quietly, the kids are dismissed for Asbury Church Kids. And so if you want to head over with Ashley, and you're going to have a great time this morning. Everybody else, grab your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 20. So we're going to be in Acts chapter 20 this morning. How many know that every one of us has had a moment, it may be small or it may be large, when you knew exactly what you should do, but in that moment, fear whispered, not you, not now. Maybe it was a conversation you needed to have, a step of faith that you felt God nudging you toward. Maybe it was a risk that would change your family, your future, or your faith, and in that moment you felt the tension between who you are and what you wanted to be. You know, I think about, you know, all of us at some point we wrestle with different things, including fears. And I don't know about you, but for me, I love stories of courage. I admire people who step into the unknown. I love to cheer for the underdog who refuses to back down. And just so you know, we're not going to bring up the whole Team USA, Team Canada hockey game at this point. That was, just so you know, people come up to me all the time now, like, okay, so how'd you feel? Canada losing. And I'm just like going, you are dead to me. And but I'm working through my pieces. But you know, we think about this whole idea of courage. We admire these people who do courageous things, but sometimes when it's our turn, when courage requires something of us, fear suddenly feels very real. Anybody here have moments where fear felt terribly real? So I remember one time we were in Ohio, and as a family, we were with some of the in-laws and stuff on Rachel's side of the family, and we went to this wonderful water park that would never be allowed in New York. That's how much fun. It was like so much fun. They had a log roll. How many know if you're at a water park that has a log roll on it, that's just going to be fun? And it had rope swings, like from like a shallow concrete thing. I watched it. I was like saying to myself, dude, this is so not allowed in New York. It was kind of sketchy, but it was kind of fun. And there was a 3-meter diving board. And we were kind of playing around in the pool. And then Samantha, our oldest at the time, comes up and says, Dad, let's go off the board. And I love to, like, you know, do stuff with my kids. And so I'm like, okay. And so we get in line and I'm like, Samantha, you get to go first. And so we get in line, we wait our turn, it's Sam's turn, she climbs the ladder, walks out to the end of the board, springs a bit, and then jumps. Sploosh. And now it's my turn. And so I climb the ladder. And I walk out to the edge. And I say to myself, no. This is not good. And I'm having this moment up on the board because it's, you know, the diving boards are kind of like a little springy. And so it's kind of like this and there's nothing to the side and there's just water. And I don't have my glasses on. And so, like, I know there's water down there, but it's kind of like this hope of water down there because I can't really see. And I'm just standing up there and people are watching. My daughter's watching. She's gotten out of the pool. There's people on the ladder behind me. And I'm like, okay, I just got to do this. And I was like, okay, ready? One, two, three, and then I walked off the board, and I climbed down the ladder, and my daughter is like, bawk, 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 bawk. And I disowned her too. And but it was just kind of that crazy moment where, you know, you're right at the edge, and you're like, this is your opportunity to jump. This is your opportunity. But all of a sudden, like, for me, it was just like I could just feel it arise within me, like fear just coming up. And again, there was no realistic fear there. How many know if you fall 10 feet into water, you're generally okay? Generally. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. But I just, my heart was just like, there is no way we're doing this. And I just remember stepping back down and then feeling all the shame and the embarrassment because I was like, dude, I don't know if I can do this. Now, the good news is this. I actually ended up doing it later because I just couldn't stand being called chicken by my daughter. And just so you know, that's a problem I have. So eventually I will do something foolish and stupid if you just push me hard enough. But that's a different story. But I think about this whole fear thing because I think sometimes in our lives we get to the edge of things and we know it's the thing we're supposed to do. But at the edge, we just start having that feeling, and we can count one, two, three, we're going to do it, but then all of a sudden we begin to back away. One of the things we recognize is this, is that courage isn't automatic, courage isn't natural, and courage isn't easy. But here's the good news. People of the Spirit are not people of fear. So there's this great verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, where Paul writes to Timothy and who says, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, of power, and of a sound mind. And I want you to know, that was such a helpful verse for me as I was beginning my faith journey. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Because I think sometimes we get to places in life and we're like, I'm not sure I can move forward. And to recognize that we are called to be people of the Spirit, and people of the Spirit actually learn to act courageously. We've been talking about this whole idea of being people of the Spirit. We've talked about Spirit-filled people love Jesus deeply. Spirit-filled people live generously. They practice discernment. Pastor Dwayne did a great job last week talking about how Spirit-filled people forgive. And today, as we kind of like step into the next piece of this, I want you to understand that Spirit-filled people act courageously. They act courageously. You see, the Spirit-filled identity in us produces Spirit-filled activity. Now, courage is not the absence of fear, but in the presence of God, like what we begin to do as we walk in courage, it's really about confidence in God. And so my big idea this morning is simply this: confidence in God gives us courage to act. Now, what is courage? Courage is mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. Now, just so you know, when you read the Bible, courage is not bravado, it is not reckless, it is not pretending you're not afraid. Courage is actually this ability that even though fear may be present, we still choose to step in the right direction. Because how many know that in this life, there are things that are going to cause us fear, from low-level anxieties to really big fears. And what courage is it's not the absence of fear, but the willingness to say that even though these things may be around me, even though I may be sensing and feeling these things, I will still step in the right direction. And so as we look at it this morning, we're going to look at Acts chapter 20. And just so you know, where we're going to come to is Acts is nearing the end of his third missionary journey. He's heading back to Jerusalem. He knows that danger is waiting for him, and he ends up stopping in a town, and he calls for the elders of the church in Ephesus, whom he loves deeply, and he just begins to share some things that are on his heart. And for these people, it's a final charge. It's an event that drips with emotion and urgency. But it also shows us what Spirit-empowered courage looks like. And so I want to read beginning in verse 17 of Acts 20, and it says this: "From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. And when they arrived, he said to them, 'You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. And you know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly from house to house. I have declared both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there.'" I love that part. "I'm going compelled by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." Now, if we drop down to verse 32, it says this: "Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. All right, so let's look at this, and I want to note three aspects of acting courageously. And the first is this: acting courageously requires faith. Paul says this, I'm going to Jerusalem not knowing. Now let me ask you, how many of you like to know what's happening next? How many prefer to know what's happening next? How many of you don't like surprises? I remember once surprising my wife for her birthday. We did a surprise party, and it was good for me, but it wasn't good for her. Because she doesn't like, I like to know what's happening. And we were driving, it was so funny, we were driving back from Canada, and we had gone away for Thanksgiving, and everybody, I said, just go into the house, go hide, and we'll drive back. And we're driving back, and I'm trying to time it perfectly. My wife's like, why do you keep stopping? And we finally pull in, and everybody had parked around the corner of the church so nobody could see. And I told people, just come into the house. And then Rachel walked in, and it was like, surprise! And it was fun for us, but not so much. She's just like, I don't like this. I like to know. Because how many knowing gives you an ability to prepare for something? Can I get a witness on this one? If you know it, you're like, I can be ready for it. But what happens when you don't get to know? We like to know. We like to be in the know. Not only that, we like to control outcomes. We like to be captains of our own future. Yet so often in our life, we don't get that opportunity. And one of the things that can happen is the uncertainty of life can begin to lock us up and shut us down. But what I love about this passage is Paul moves forward not knowing. Like, even though he didn't know, like, I don't know what's ahead. Now, he has a sense there's going to be prisons and hardships. I don't know what's before me, but I'm going to keep moving. And acting courageously requires faith. And how many know faith involves, at its essence, not always knowing? So this is what Paul will write to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by sight. Some of us, we're in the place where we're like going, well, I'll believe it when I see it, or I need to see it in order for me to believe it. Yet this whole idea of this journey that we're on requires us sometimes to walk in places where we don't get to know. Yet he did it because he was compelled by the Spirit, drawn and led and moved. And I want us to know that this morning that part of this idea of acting courageously is understanding that courage requires faith. It requires a confidence that God is with us and that he's holding us. Even though we don't know what's tomorrow, God knows what's in all of our tomorrows. Okay, there's an old hymn. How many of you are familiar with old hymns? And again, I'm so happy that mom and dad, because dad's going to help, and I'll get mom to sing too. It'll be great. We'll get them doing this whole fun hymn sing thing. There's an old hymn. We'll play Name That Tune. How many are ready for Name That Tune? All right, or Name That Hymn. Okay, ready? This is the verse. You got to let me go through the whole verse, and then I'll let you guess the hymn. Ready? I'll say the first line, and some of you are like, I know it. Ready? Here we go. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that's brought me safe thus far. And what? Grace. What's the hymn? You guys are so good. But I love that part that says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. How many know that it is God's grace that gets us through the difficult moments? And even though there may be difficulty before us, there is a grace that works, that meets us even in those moments. And I'll just say that if we're going to act courageously, it's going to require a confidence that God holds us and that he helps us. The second thing I want to note is this, is that acting courageously flows from purpose. So in verse 24, Paul says this, My only aim is to finish the race and to complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. So one of the things I want us to understand is that purpose helps fuel courage. When you know why you're here, when you know who called you, when you know that what God has placed in your hands, you can walk through hard things with clarity and conviction. Like, even though you may not know all the things, and even though you may encounter difficult things, when you begin to understand purpose, it enables you to go through difficult things. Now, just so you know, I'll demonstrate this to you. How many know that in relationship, because you're, you know, for those of us who are married, there's a sense that there's a divine call that's a part of it. That what God has joined together, let no one separate. That God's been a part of this. And how many know that when God brings us into relationship, there's a purpose there. And so because of it, that sometimes we choose, because of what we're called to, we choose to endure. How many know marriage is not easy? How many know spouses aren't always easy to get along with? Don't raise your hand. Stop. Some of you guys are way too quick on that one. Way too quick. Boom. Spouses are hard to get along with. But why is it that you stick through the ups and downs and the difficult? Because there's a part that God's brought us together. That God is up to something in our lives, and part of that purpose is working it out. Same thing with kids. How many know that kids are not easy to get along with? Even your own kids. They look so cute when they're small, but you bring them home, they're like beagles. How many know beagles are so cute as puppies? But they are just not, just as a dog, you're like, really? Anyways, different story. But I think about this. Think about how many of you, when it comes to signing up to this whole kid thing, you start out going, you know, poopy diapers, the pukey stuff. You're like going, boy, that just brings, oh, I am there for that. How many of you, you're like going, yeah, no, right? Like, best part of being a grandparent, Sam, this one stinks. Get to give it back, right? That's so much fun. But as parents, how many know that as parents, because you're called as a parent, you're willing to endure difficult things, and you do it time and time again? Because what purpose does, it actually fuels an ability to work through things that are incredibly difficult. Because they're your kids, it's your spouse, it's your family. And one of the things that I want you to understand that when God made us, he made us with purpose. And as we begin to understand what our purpose is, it actually gives us the ability to endure the difficult things that we're a part of. It allows us to act courageously. You see, a sense of call has a way of steadying us, calming us, and anchoring us. Even when life is difficult, heavy, and fear is loud. You see, one of the things that I think that we all have to wrestle with is, okay, God, what's my purpose? To understand our purpose gives us the ability to lean into these things and to make it through. And if we don't, what happens is we have a way of drifting. Have you ever noticed it's really easy to drift? To just kind of float along and to be moved along by life's currents. But what purpose does is it causes us to live intentionally. And part of our confidence arises from the fact that the one who made us is the one who walks with us. So acting courageously flows from purpose. It requires faith. It flows from purpose. And lastly, acting courageously is connected to serving others. In verse 34, by this, Paul reminds them that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, it's more blessed to give than to receive. How many have heard that verse before? It's more blessed to give than to receive. All right, when do we usually use that verse? Offering time. All right, ushers? No, I'm just kidding. Right? That's when we usually hear the verse. It's more blessed to give than receive. And we think about it at offering time. But that is actually not the context. What is the context? The context is actually helping other people. It's serving other people. That part of this whole idea of acting courageously is actually connected to serving others. You see, courage is never meant to be self-centered. It's to be others-focused. Paul was working hard, not for applause, not for status, but to help others. And his courage, his willingness to endure, his willingness to help others was really an expression of his love. His love for God and his love for others. You see, in our lives, we need to act courageously for the sake of our families, for our community, and for our church. See, part of the reason why we're doing everything that we're doing regarding Asbury Church 6.0 is it's our recognition that, you know what, God is actually calling us to serve beyond ourselves. That we're actually here, we are placed to impact our community and to impact our world. And one of the things that we keep challenging everybody to do is, you know what, we need your help to serve other people, because part of being courageous is serving. Now, I don't know about you, but often we think about church by means of things that we receive from it. I like the preaching. I like the music. I like the kids' ministry. It's about the things that we receive. And how many know that we can be blessed by what we received? But what Jesus actually teaches, it's more blessed to give than to receive. How many of you want to live in a place of blessing? Did you know that blessing comes through serving? Because there is a grace that is released, not just to you, but through you, as you begin to minister to other people. And part of this whole idea is, God, would you help us serve other people well? And that takes courage. It takes courage to step out of our comfort zone, to adjust our schedules, to say, okay, God, I am going to step into places that may not be familiar or comfortable to me. You see, I believe God is calling us to be a people who courageously serve, give, love, and reach people. And so whether it's helping with the outreach or helping with the worship, helping with, I have four kids ministry and hospitality. We need people to serve. We need people to get involved. We need people to get involved on our Wednesday nights, because part of this whole piece is God wants to do something not just in us, but through us. You see, confidence in God gives us courage to act. Now, so how do we act courageously? Just so you know, just as we get ready to close, courage isn't a personality trait. It's actually a spiritual posture. And Scripture actually shows us how do we cultivate courage in our lives. So the first thing we need to do is we actually need to pray for empowerment. I want to invite the worship team to come because we're going to close in just a moment here. But we actually have to pray for empowerment. Acts 4:24 through 30, the church is actually going through a very difficult season. And there are people who are pushing against Peter and John. They're saying, hey guys, you need to keep your faith to yourself. And there was intimidation going on. There was fear. All these different things. And when the people came together, I love what they did. It says this. It says, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And part of their prayer was this: now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. You see, if we're ever going to be able to walk in courage, we actually need the presence of God at work in our lives. We need to be a people who pray. Boldness is birthed in the presence of God. And we have to be a people that say, okay, God, you want to act through us. And God, we need to be courageous. And for us to do it, we actually need God's presence. Did you know that the book of Acts is called Acts for a reason? Did you know it's not called, just, you know, the title in the Greek is Acts of the Apostle. And the word that's used there deals with acts or deeds or workings. It's the activity of the apostles. You know what it wasn't called? The faith of the apostles, or the belief of the apostles. It was the acts of the apostles. Because what is it that the church is called to do? Is act. our belief is to motivate and inspire our action. And we need to say, God, would you enable your servants? See, the Holy Spirit was poured out in order that you and I might be empowered to make a difference in the places we live. The Holy Spirit was poured out so that we might impact our families and our homes. The Holy Spirit was poured out that we might impact a community, a country, a world. And what we need to do is say, God, would you continue to pour out upon us? See, if we're going to act courageously, we need to pray for empowerment, but we also have to learn to listen to the Spirit's leading. Can I tell you, the Spirit of God is moving, not just on Sundays. So I'm going to shock you. This is so great. Did you know that the Spirit of God is moving on Mondays? Come on now. I'm serious. On Monday. Like the day after the weekend. How many know Mondays can be a hard start? Especially after losing an hour of sleep. But did you know the Spirit of God is moving on Mondays? Oh, okay. Did you know the Spirit of God is moving on Tuesdays? Okay, you don't believe me on that one. But it's true. The Spirit of God is moving on Wednesday, Thursday. Not Friday, that's Pastor's day off. Just kidding. Spirit of God is moving on Friday. He's moving on Saturday. The Spirit of God is moving every day. And not only do we pray for an enablement, what we actually need to do is we need to learn to listen to the Spirit's leading. Did you know that everywhere you go this coming week, the Holy Spirit's going with you? And the Spirit is going to stir and work in those places that you are. And what we have to do is say, Holy Spirit, what are you directing me to? What act are you calling me to even in this moment? We need to learn to listen for the Spirit's moving. The Spirit's prompting. The Spirit's directing. We see this in Acts again and again. The Spirit begins to move people. You need to listen to the Spirit. The Spirit nudges. He prompts. He positions us strategically to influence and impact others with the love of Jesus. And what we have to do is we have to be in the place, not only praying for empowerment, but listening for the Spirit's leading. And then thirdly, moving in obedience. Did you know that obedience is faith in action? That obedience is the demonstration of our faith in God? See, more than just saying, I believe in Jesus, my belief in Jesus influences what I do. And we have to learn to move in faith, stepping out. And this is where courage comes in, because how many know courage is not a feeling, it's a step. Courage is an action that we take. It's a willingness to risk, a willingness to reach, a willingness to obey. And if we're going to ever act courageously, we need to pray for empowerment, listen for the Spirit's leading, move in obedience, and lastly, trust God's faithfulness. I can't tell you how blessed I am that it is going to be like 60 degrees again this week. I'm excited about 60-degree weather. Come on now. It's been a long winter. How many are tired of the snow? How many are waiting for green? Oh, man, we're getting out of brown season. We're still in mud season for a bit. I know that. But how many know it's going to turn mud? It's going to turn to green in a bit. And some of us, what we're going to start doing is getting ready for gardening. Where are my gardeners in the room? Okay, and you know this. This is the season when we begin to get ready for what it is we want to harvest in the next few months. Now, how many of us want fresh tomatoes from the garden again? How many know we're getting close? We got to start sowing those seeds. They don't just show up. You actually have to sow the seed. Talk about potatoes and beans and cucumbers, peppers. We have to begin to sow the seeds. And the reason we do it with such, in a sense, confidence is because we know who it is that made the seed and gave purpose to the seed and causes the seed to work even when we're not aware of it. Aren't you grateful for you gardeners out there? You don't have to pay attention to the seed every moment of the day. Like, yeah, we've got some business to do. We got to go and weed every once in a while. Everybody's favorite task. You know, when we put it in the ground, we have to water it sometimes. We got to look. But isn't it amazing to watch how much stuff happens even when we're not around? Why is that? Because of the faithfulness of the God who made the seed. And can I tell you that when we begin to act in faith and we begin to act courageously, what we're actually doing is we are sowing seeds. And even though we may not see the fruit of it immediately, I want you to know God says God is faithful to his word. And he begins to work and he begins to move. And he begins to prepare for a harvest. If he was so great, say, hey, we got Easter cards. Hey, can I just tell you, everybody here, don't come to church alone on Easter. Invite people. You know, I would encourage you, before you leave, get a stack of these or a few of these. They're on the tables. Pass them out. Now, you may show up Easter and go, oh my goodness, I gave out like 38 cards and nobody came. Can I tell you what faith says? Hey, you know what? I've sown seed and I'm going to trust God to produce the harvest. Because how many know that God's going to work? He's going to produce a harvest. And what would happen if the church began to act courageously in serving a community? Inviting, sharing, serving. What would happen? You see, part of it is learning to trust God's faithfulness. Because you know what? God honors the obedience of his people. God honors the obedience of his people. This is why I said right at the beginning, confidence in God gives us courage to act. Like, we'll pray, we'll listen, we'll move, and we do all of that because we trust the one who's called us. We trust the one who saved us. We trust the one who has fashioned us for a purpose. You see, a spirit-filled people are a courageous people. Not because they're fearless, but because they trust the one who leads them. Again, courage requires faith. It flows from purpose and is connected to serving others. Reality is we don't know what lies ahead, but we do know the one who goes with us. May we trust his leading. May we trust the guiding of the Spirit to make a difference in our lives and in our world. Let's all stand together. Father, I thank you that you are good. And that, Lord, you call us to be a courageous people. And God, I know that there are times where we get to the end of the board and we know there's a step of faith to take. And God, sometimes our hearts just get a little overwhelmed with anxiety and fear. And God, we step back. Yet, Holy Spirit, we're asking that you would help us to be people of courage, people who act courageously into your purpose. Lord, I thank you that you love us and you have good things in store for us. And God, we need your help. Lord, there is a world that is lost and broken. Lord, a world that needs your healing, your rescue, your redemption. And God, I pray that we would do our part, trusting you to be faithful to your word. And just while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, how many here this morning would just simply say, you know what? There are some areas in my life where I am wrestling with some fears and worries. See, because again, God did not give us a spirit of fear. And you may be in this place. You're like, you know, I'm really wrestling with some fears and anxieties. You may be facing some very difficult situations. And there may be that uncertainty and not knowing. And you're just like going, God, I just need grace to meet me today. I'm so grateful that our Savior is here to help us. And if you're here this morning and say, you know what, would you just pray with me? I'm just wrestling with some things. I got some fears. I got some uncertainties that I'm just processing through. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? Because I want to pray with you. I see those hands, those ones. Thank you. Thank you. You can put them down. How many here this morning would just simply say, you know what? God, I want to be one of those that acts courageously. Lord, I'm willing to step into that which you've created me for, that which you have made me for. God, I believe you. I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to walk by faith. If that's you this morning, would you raise your hands? I want to pray with you as well. Lord, you see these hands. You see these hearts. Lord, I pray for everyone who lifted their hands because they are facing a difficult moment, a difficult season. Lord, where they're wrestling with their fears and anxieties. And Lord, I pray right now for your Holy Spirit just to bring a calm to their hearts. Lord, I thank you that you still are in control. That, Lord, you've got this. And God, I just pray right now that, Lord, you would just help move the darkness and the fear. And that you would begin to replace it with your peace. Father, I thank you that you're good. And God, you see that the hands and the hearts of these people have said, Lord, I want to take a step. I want to act courageously. Father, I pray that as you lead and guide them, Lord, as you whisper to them, Lord, may they take that step. And God, may you be glorified. Thank you, Lord, that we can be courageous because of your Spirit that is at work in us. And we give you glory and praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So just worship team's going to lead us. Maybe you're here and you lift your hands for the first thing saying, hey, I'm just wrestling with some things. I would just like someone to pray with me. I'll be down front here. Levita, if you don't mind being over here. And invite people if you want to come pray. Just you come on up. Pastor Adam's here. Here you come, stand in the middle. I'll make you stand in the middle. Look good. But if there's ways we pray with you, can I just challenge you? So, you keep playing. There's something that happens when God's people take steps of faith, when they begin to move. And I know sometimes you're like, dude, you don't know how scary it is to move from the back to the front. Right, Pastor Adam? He's like, dude, you make me stand in the middle? Oh, yeah. But there's something about steps of faith that's part of being courageous. And can I just, maybe you're wrestling with some stuff right now and you're dealing with that darkness, that fear. Again, courage is not the absence of fear, but it's the willingness to move in spite of fear. And I want you to know that if you're wrestling with something, I want to just challenge you, take a step of faith this morning. Let's pray with you, all right?